Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 305, episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it is Tuesday, September 19th, 2023.
Oh, yeah. You know what that
is? Oh, yeah.
National IT Professionals Day. It's also National Voter Registration Day. Hey, make sure you register to vote, because a lot of people would probably hope you aren't doing that. And also National Butterscotch Pudding Day. Shout out to all of my lovers of the butterscotch flavor, including myself.
Yeah. I think that's one of the better pudding flavors.
It's also Talk Like a Pirate Day, but I didn't want to.
You don't want to do that to everybody with children.
No,
out there.
No. Yeah. Is that a thing you would prepared. Do as a parent? Would you be like, hey, guys, it's Talk Like a Pirate Day. We ready to annoy ourselves to death?
In this household, we look down on international days that are made up for no reason. we scoff at them, Miles.
Right. We're out here living in the real world where there's real consequences to our actions.
And when we scoff at them, we say, har, har, har. It's always International Talk Like a Pirate Day. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. El Jacko. That's courtesy of Maxer1216, because they think I look like El Chapo's son.
And okay.
Yeah, there was a new picture of El Chapo's son being extradited to the U.S. on board a plane in handcuffs. And people, once again, anytime a picture of that fellow hits the news, I am reminded.
Oh, okay.
Hey, this you? Anyways, it is not. I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Miles Gray, a.k.a. I'm far out of range. One bar is how I feel. My phone is searching hard, lying naked on my thigh. Irradiation changed my guts to something real. They're wide awake and I can see a Quado has been born.
Shout out to Scouty on Discord. Because we're talking Scouty. About how that iPhone 12 had higher levels of radiation than the French government would allow. And I thought, hey, maybe that would just create a little Total Recall Quado type character. Yeah.
And that's fun. That's a fun one for you to have, you know, fun news story for you to have a laugh with, because you, what I
turned
do
out,
you have?
Turned out I had an 11.
And I looked mine up. I got the 12, baby.
Hey, but no fair. 12. You have to name your Quado after me.
Give me that Quado. Miles.
Yes.
We are thrilled, fortunate, blessed to be joined in our third seat by an assistant professor of technology, operations, and statistics at NYU, where his research focuses on the intersection of machine learning and natural language processing, which of course means, you know, his interests include conversational agents, hierarchical models,
yes,
deep learning, spectral clustering. You guys are all probably finishing this sentence with
me.
Yeah,
of course.
Spectral estimation of hidden Markov models. Yes, obviously. Mm-hmm. And of course, time series analysis. Please welcome Dr. Joao Sadak.
Dr. Joao!
Welcome.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jack and Miles, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Pleasure to have you.
We're glad you're here because we got a lot of questions about a lot of stuff. Some to mostly to do with what your area of expertise is. Some things I just need a second opinion on.
Mm-hmm.
Just around
the career of Allen Iverson.
Yeah.
Is it a bad joke if it's been used in like a cable? I believe that's a DirecTV commercial is using. They're like, and we have our very own AI that helps you select shows. And then Allen Iverson's sitting on the couch with the person.
Wait, is
does
that really
make it
thing?
Off limits? Yeah, yeah. That's a real commercial.
Wow.
And I'm going to be running with that joke all day today because I'm not any better than the comedy writers at DirecTV, I guess.
Whatever
I don't know what the fuck company it is. Yeah. But
no, what do
Dr. Sadak, is that good, Dr. Sadak? Is that a good way to address you?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'm very easy about things.
Okay.
So, okay. Yeah.
How about Jay
Dr.
Money?
Sadak, Jow. Well, I've never been called that. I had some students in my class call me Jay Wow.
Jay Wow?
Probably, okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Is it Jow?
So the pronunciation is, so it's Brazilian Portuguese, so João, okay. That's what I'm named João. After, but I go by João, Jow.
Okay.
So, okay. Yeah, very easy João. Going about it.
Got Dr.
It.
Okay. J, even?
Dr. J.
Oh, money. No, no, that's
Rock
that's
the cradle, Dr.
League.
J. Amazing. All right, well, yeah, I mean, the main thing, we've brought you here today to ask the big questions around AI, such as, what is that? What is AI? and we'll follow from there. But, you know, questions that reveal that we're smart people.
Obviously.
No, I actually do think that the fact that AI is used as the phrase to describe a bunch of different types of technology probably has something to do with where people's fear comes from and where people's like kind of confusion, where my confusion up to this point has come from.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so we're going to talk to you about a bunch of that stuff, plenty more. But first, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are or where you are in life?
So I think the most revealing thing about my current search history is probably me searching for the which of Pfizer or Moderna had the highest amount of mRNA in the vaccine, which took me like forever to figure out. And that was, you know, a wasted 30 minutes of my day where I could have just slacked someone and had the answer.
And wait, why were you trying to discern which had a higher concentration of mRNA in it?
Yeah, I have a feeling that, like, you know, so that was kind of like, okay, the one with the higher dosage might still be slightly more effective. And the new vaccines have come or been approved just a couple of days ago. And
right.
So trying to.
It seemed like on a spectrum, like Moderna was having the better results, right? Like on a continuum. Yeah. I felt like
on the
repeatedly.
New one?
Or just in general, because I remember when the vaccine first came out, it was like, you got Johnson and Johnson. Oh, you got that J&J. And then I was kind of like, I had Moderna, but as a American consumer, I'm like, but I know the brand Pfizer more.
Yeah.
And then I ended up being like, okay, good. I got that good one, the Moderna, it turned out. Or at least was slightly
more. Oh, Moderna was better than Pfizer?
Slightly more effective there, from
slightly,
what I understand.
Slightly. Yeah. I mean, both are extremely effective, but
right.
That was probably the thing in my today's browsing history that told me the most about me, which is that I'm still, after this many years, paranoid about something.
I mean,
which everybody in the rest of the world has sort of moved on about.
Yeah, for better or worse. But yeah, it does seem like that. Yeah, I'm still with you on that, because like I still somehow have an ego like that attached to what brand of fucking vaccine I got. Like, well, you know, I got Moderna, so you know, I'll sit over there with the elevated folks.
And so it's not, you're not Googling to see which has the more mRNA or what's it called?
mRNA.
mRNA, because you are worried that it's going to kill you or cause you to start shaking uncontrollably like the people in those TikTok videos, just to be clear.
I mean, the vaccines have adverse side effects, but no, I'm in it for, hey, I'm already, you know, old enough that, you know, that's not going to really matter. I'm more worried about, you know, adverse effects of getting the disease. So, yeah, and, you know, but
very scientific answer.
You know, I was thinking about it and, you know, it was funny because I was asking the chatbots. And so one thing as I work on this stuff that's both funny and somewhat annoying to my wife is that, like, I'll do a search and then I'll play around with like three different chatbots. And then like half an hour later, she's like, have you not been listening to me?
Right.
And I haven't. I've been going and trying to figure out
where we're going to order from yet.
I don't know. But Bing AI thinks that this chain is still in New York. It's not. Foolish, this one.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it's, you know, yeah, I do tend to get distracted while playing with, you know, all the cool new things. And I mean, every once in a while you learn something by anecdotally testing something, or, you know, somebody making a statement like, oh, you know, did you notice, like, you know, this kind of behavior? And I'm like, oh, that's really cool. Okay. You know,
and then off you go. You
know, go down the path of like trying to understand it.
Right.
Mm. Cool. What's something you think is overrated?
I think that in terms of things that are really overrated, like, you know, probably artificial general intelligence, also known as AGI. Occasionally people think about it like the singularity, where, you know, we start to assume that, you know, the machines are going to take over and we're going to be in a Terminator world. I think, you know, the likelihood of that risk is like super overstated.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. All right. Too.
Well, you actually just answered the only question we had on this episode, so I think we're good here.
Sorry.
No, that's I think coming in, like, and we'll get to this a little bit, but coming in to this week's episode, like, I had, you know, read a couple articles on AI, but I think artificial general intelligence, like the idea of like some chatbot or, you know, a language model or, you know, some sort of artificial intelligence, deep brain model, whatever it is, like gains sentience and that then it like takes over weapon systems immediately was like the threat that I had in my mind. And after like doing some research, there's no longer something that is it. Well, it doesn't seem to be the one that most people are worried about, at least. And then there are the people like the we'll get into it, but I do think, yeah, that's an important distinction and kind of gets at that first question of like what is AI, because people use it to stand in for a bunch of different things. What's something you think is underrated?
This is maybe mildly underrated, but I think that the amount of upheaval that AI, this generation of technologies is going to have in the next couple of years. This means that, like, you know, certain jobs, so a lot of technology, like in the industrial age, has gone from lower jobs, like jobs that don't require, you know, having skill sets that require a large amount of education. You know, I think ChatGPT already has surfaced evidence of being able to either replace or facilitate somebody to be much more productive, and that this will actually cause a reasonably large amount of change in the workforce globally, you know, that I think will have real impact, right? And could cause problems, you know, with more erosion of middle-class jobs and, you know, needing to have like sort of deeper retraining.
Interesting. What are the, yeah, I guess let's dig into it. Like what are the jobs that you see being replaced? Because like the ones that we've heard most about specifically, and I've seen sort of poor results for, are the writing jobs. Like when people are like, no, we're just going to have AI like write these articles for us now. And they seem like they do kind of a bad job and they have a tough time with like fact checking. Where do you expect to see the kind of changes in the workforce first? Because I guess I will caveat that by saying that it doesn't seem like a lot of companies care if the technology does a bad job. They're just like, yeah, but it's good enough to like put butts in the seats and it's less money. And the entire model of capitalism currently, because of private equity and, you know, just that being how the incentive system is set up, is like to cut costs. So maybe it won't matter and it'll just like make journalism shittier and have all journalist jobs replaced by these AIs. But where is that kind of where you see it, or where do you see the AI replacing jobs?
Well, so I think true creative writing, right? Like things that writing from journalists, or let's say creative writing, songwriting, poetry, these require such deep understanding of people and theory about how people interpret the words and the language and sort of the reactions and emotions that are involved, that I don't think AI is going to help very much with that. Replace, right? I think it can help, right? And make you more productive. But I don't think it's really going to be, let's say, a replacement for a journalist. But some stuff that people do that are pro forma, like a pro forma report, right? That's, you know, almost template based, but not quite, you know, so somebody's got to do some filing. Well, okay, ChatGPT can do this, you know, well enough for me that, okay, here's a filing. Very few people are probably going to look at, okay, let me use ChatGPT. You know, and maybe not need to hire someone to do that, right? I think the other thing where we're going to see a lot of change is also in, you know, coding. Here, I think we're seeing already the impact of it, where there's this tool called Copilot, which is driven by similar technology as ChatGPT, which is able to create massive amounts of code for people. So it's making a certain subset of coders just way more efficient. You know, I see that in, you know, even with my students. So I teach an undergraduate data science class. Last semester, the projects that my students were able to do was actually much more impressive than the previous semester. Mm-hmm. And part of that was just them being able to use ChatGPT to be able to make better code, to make their projects better.
I was just reading like an op-ed from a former IBM employee that he's like describing himself as like a tech evangelist and had always been, you know, say like cheering on like the advent or the arrival of ChatGPT and things like that. And he said, it only ended up actually taking a lot of work from me, like because some companies who were less interested in good writing were like, we're actually going to use a lot of this for like content generation, so we don't need, you know, like your services as much. He said it hasn't completely replaced him, but it's a significant, he has noticed a more than significant amount of like businesses sort of be like, you know what, we're kind of going to just sort of lean into this thing that costs like way less money. And are these kind of like the stories that are like canaries in the coal mine? But I feel like sort of like in the industrial age, we've always seen like there was just automation, right? Where people who had jobs at a bank to do specific things like file things or put things in a ledger ended up like those jobs ended up going away because of automation. Or just you think of customer service now, a lot of that is automated. And I was also reading about how a lot of local governments are now adopting or really interested in chatbots as a way to like sort of replace bureaucracies at certain levels. Like, is that sort of where you see it ending, or what, like, what's the sort of 50-year outlook? Because I think to Jack's point too, we always look at this as like, well, when we're trying to reconcile that with like capitalism and a corporation's need to like always look at their bottom line, is it a thing that there we can strike a balance where it's like, yeah, we have these human employees who use this as a tool, obviously, because it makes them better, or is it like the cynical version is like they're going to get as much as they can done with it only up until the point that they probably need human workers to kind of really fine tune the processes?
Yeah, I think the latter. I mean, I think, you know, the companies, their interest is to optimize. So the truth of the matter is that the tool right now is just not good enough for most, you know, really for most tasks. I think, you know, 50 years from now is a really hard thing for me to predict.
I know, but you have to, Dr. Sadok. You have to, for the purposes.
You have to take wild speculation, but sound extremely confident, because this is the media. Because
this is going to go on TikTok, and we're going to scare the heck out of a lot of young people. So go ahead. Yeah. You were saying how Skynet is imminent?
Yeah, Skynet is imminent. I'm kidding. So I think that, you know, looking forward, like looking far forward into where I think it will be in, you know, maybe 10 or 15 years.
Sure.
This technology is just really just going to improve. And what we're going to see is that, you know, we will have certain jobs which were done by people for a very long time go away. That will probably mean the new jobs will open up and people will just be more productive. That's the sort of optimist in me.
Right.
That's also, you know, how everything has happened to this point, right? Is that like people are at first scared of new technology, like airplanes are going to be really scary and like make it so nobody has to ever take a train. And it's like, well, then there's like the entire aerospace jet propulsion industry. And, you know, I guess that one's a little easier to foresee, but like it does feel like there's always fear of new technology and like belief that it's going to end the economy as we know it. And it does, but it's always replaced by a new version, right?
Yep, exactly. And so I think, you know, we're going to see something similar in this. Some questions of factuality. Sometimes people call this hallucinations in our models. How difficult is that going to be to really fix those sort of corner cases? But, you know, given the amount of money and people that are working on this, you know, I think that within the next 10 to 15 years, we're going to see that, you know, a lot of that gets solved, or at least the likelihood of it occurring is so small that it's, you know, more that the likelihood of it, you know, lying to you or saying something that is untrue is going to be, you know, way, way, way less than any person, right? So that's kind of where I think we're going. And so we'll see, you know, some jobs like, you know, entry-level coders may go away, certain jobs like, you know, certain types of business analysts, even some form of middle management, I think, is at risk. You know, lots of various amounts of places, I think, are at risk. I do want to say one other thing, which I think is like going to be amazing, and we're seeing this in higher education, but in education in general, is that probably the place that's been most impacted by ChatGPT has been education. Right. And I think what we'll see is in the next 10 to 15 years, education is just going to dramatically reform.
Right.
Hopefully for the better, but like we're going to see like major changes in how we teach students, how we assess students. Hopefully this will lead to you know, just better quality of education for everyone.
Right. Because it sort of like the main, I guess, I feel like the point of our traditional educational system is like almost like memory recall. It's like, how good is your fact recall, memory recall, and things like that? Or can you sit through reading this 1,000-page historical textbook to glean like these 8 points really that we want you to come away with? And I see like how much that distillation of information, how quickly that occurs with like, you know, ChatGPT and things like that. So I guess it does become more like, okay, granted, if this is the information we want people to learn, then how are we now taking that next step to make sure it's sort of ingested properly for people to know that they are making sense of it, rather than like being like, yeah, here are the 18 things you need to say to pass like a historical course on the Columbian Exchange, and more like, okay, we know how to get to those answers, but how can you demonstrate that knowledge? And I guess that's sort of where the, I guess, excitement is in academia, or at least that's the challenge, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the challenge, the worry, the, you know, and I guess excitement goes in both ways,
right?
Positive and negative, depending on where you are and how you want to deal with this. But I think that like this type of technology has the potential of being, you know, a tutor and a tutoring system that is almost as good as, you know, the best tutor, where we can help people learn better and just be able to interactively one-on-one, you know, sort of teach certain concepts. And
like with an AI teacher, or you're saying it would help teachers teach?
Help teachers. Yeah. So it'd be like a tutor, right? So, yeah. You know, the teacher's still going to teach, but the tutor is going to be able to, like, the AI tutor is going to be able to, you know, help the student with, okay, I didn't understand this, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, and one thing that we do know about chatbots is that in general, you know, people have this impression that chatbots have less judgment, right? And so people are willing to ask, you know, in air quotes, stupid questions.
Thank you. Yeah, because no questions are stupid.
Yeah, we're in a classical classroom, you know, they wouldn't be willing to ask that to a person. And they're willing to ask it to the AI, right?
Yeah. I don't know. As a parent, I would be very worried just based on the work I've seen from chatbots up to this point. Like
what, this point?
We've covered, yeah, up to this point. Like, we've covered the Columbus Dispatch, like, recap of, like, a football game, like, high school football game. And it's just, like, such absolute shit. It's, like, one of the worst articles I've ever read. You know, the Star Wars one that Gizmodo put up is terrible. So I don't, like, I believe that, like, the chatbots will continue to get better. But I guess I have questions about what they're going to get better at, whether they're going to get better at, like, fooling us into thinking that they have, like, human intelligence, or whether they're going to get, like, more accurate. Because it seems like within the world of AI, like, there's still people who are, like, I think it was somebody who worked at OpenAI was like, Wikipedia level accuracy is like years off at this point. And like Wikipedia is suddenly being used as this phrase for like something that is like the gold standard.
Immutable
whereas
truth.
Like before, outside of the context of AI training, it's something that we like joke about being easily editable and stuff. So it worries me a little bit, like, that I think people's faith is being misplaced in the language models, because language is inherently an abstractive system that is designed to lie. Like, essentially, it's to tell you a story that gives you meaning, but it feels like from a philosophical level, like that I see where people who are skeptical that this is the path to like really useful stuff are coming from. But let's take a quick break and we'll come back. And I do just want to like kind of nail down two different things that are being called AI that seem vastly different to me. So let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. So, yeah, I guess I think ChatGPT seems to be the thing that everyone has been taken by, like, very like interested in, right? Like, that it seems to have reached a new level where people can do things and have conversations that are remarkably like human seeming and can do. Write really good, maybe B- term papers, and then use that to kind of scrap together something. Or depending, you know, maybe it's a higher level of term paper. I don't grade term papers, so I wouldn't know. But just based on the journalistic work I've seen it do, I haven't been impressed. But so that's the main thing that I'm hearing referred to as AI, and they're like, this. There's a new future upon us. Look at ChatGPT, and then there's like. When you look into some of the things that are being done with machine learning, like accurately predicting how proteins fold, which is like a problem that has been just too complex for humans to solve on their own, just like too slow for humans to know the atomic shape of proteins. Like they just kind of fold in ways that is like too small, too complicated for humans to predict. And like through machine learning and like this deep brain system at Google, they were able to like knock it out within a couple of years. And like they gave it to the public. They were like, here is the shape of the proteins. And so if you're using AI to describe both of those things, I think that's where the creepiness comes in, because you're like, okay, it has this like godlike science ability, and then it also has this like child personality where it like can like talk to you and flirt with you a little bit. And it's like that mismatch seems uncanny and weird to me. Like, and I think that is what is happening in people's minds when they're like, Oh, yeah. AI is scary. It's this like massively powerful thing. And it is massively powerful. I think it's just more massively powerful when it has a task and like a specific thing that it's seeking, which is not what you can really have with the language models, which are like predictive, right?
Yeah, I think it's kind of unfair in the way that people characterize the language models as like, oh, they just predict the next word, right?
Right.
I mean, in some sense, it's what we know of what the language model is trying to do is it is trying to predict some sequence of text. And in doing so, it's learning a whole bunch of the knowledge in the world and how the world is connected. Yeah. It's learning some seemingly probabilistic logic rules.
Yeah.
However, yeah, I mean, this is oftentimes you see this weird sort of disconnect between ChatGPT or that technology, which we call large language models in general, being so smart and so stupid at the same time.
Right.
Right.
That's kind of our specialty on the show.
Yeah. Well, and I think as we as like society interact with the technology more and more, we're going to get sort of a better mental model of the technology, right? And in some sense, like right now, a lot of people, you know, I ask my students, okay, like, what do you think of, like, how do you reason about ChatGPT, right? How do you reason about the quality of the technology and how it, you know, is, you know, understanding the input and giving you output? And some people think about it kind of like this person and, you know, reason about it like a person. Other people see it like Google search, but just a really, really interactive version of Google search.
Sure.
And somehow it's somewhere in between, which I think is like the weird sort of place that we're at. And, you know, I think that the fact that the same type of deep learning and machine learning models can predict protein folding and find new, you know, ways of inverting matrices that are even more efficient and doing all this very, very incredible, intelligent stuff at the same time as, you know, making incredibly dumb statements is something that we will, like, people are going to have to deal with, right? As okay, you know, there's this weird disconnect, you know. If you think about it like a person, it's not a person, right? It's not a, you know, it doesn't map on, you know, like in general, we like to take technologies or different types of constructs and map them onto what we already know. Right? And in some sense, it's not mapping well onto what we already know. And so we're going to have to figure out how to sort of properly map it onto its own new sort of construct.
Yeah. I get like the one thing that, you know, in talking about it as like, well, it's just predicting the next word, or, you know, it's doing like when you describe the very specific tasks that's being programmed to do versus the emergent abilities that are coming out of that task. Like the analogy that I heard used that made sense is like, I guess it's a quote from Darwin that like, from so simple a beginning, endless forms most beautiful, like that quote being applied to basically the argument is like, that's all the human mind is doing also. Like in some ways, like the human mind is just can be seen as being programmed to like look for lions in the bushes and move towards food and procreation. And then like from all of these like complicated synapses firing, you get this amazing thing called consciousness. And that, you know, just by describing AI in a reductive way, you're ignoring the fact that like it could be these very basic things and also be moving towards, you know, what we describe as, what we think of as consciousness. So yeah, I think, yeah, it's a super interesting conversation that was like, I think I was scared to like read into, like to get like to research because it's just so massive. And like when I was a philosophy major in college, and when I was studying philosophy back in like the early 2000s, like AI, like the question of AI and what was going to happen was like a major question in philosophy all the way back then. And it's mm-hmm. like all of the ways that philosophers have been like thinking about and asking all the questions they've been asking about AI for, you know, since like the 60s are mm-hmm. are now like coming to a fore. And like as we've gotten closer to the moment, we still don't really have any clearer of an idea of like what exactly is going to happen. So it's a little scary. I do want to take a break and then come back and just talk about like kind of some specific ways, just like take some guesses as to like specific ways that the future might look different, that we might not be, that I at least going into like researching this hadn't been taken into account as a possibility. So we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. And Miles, I mean, we talk a lot about how what we think this future is going to look like, right?
Yeah. I mean, I share the name with Miles Dyson. Ever heard of him? The guy started a little thing called Skynet. You don't think that keeps me up all night? Well, but in seriousness,
he went out a hero, Miles. You know?
Yeah, I did. look, it's all about altruism, you know, at the end. But like, I think for me personally, right, so much of my understanding of science is derived from film and television because I'm American. And I think with AI, I think whenever I would think of like, oh my, like, it's like, you don't know where this thing's going to go. The place I think it's going to go is Skynet from Terminator.
Just see the shot from the sky of all the missiles being launched.
Like, just coming down. Yeah. I'm trying to have a nice day at the park with my kids. I'm watching through chain link. And next
thing
I know,
some ladies over there shaking the chain link fence for some reason.
Hey, that skeleton's rattling the kids over there. Get her out of here. But I'm, you know, first of all, it's sort of twofold question. How far off base is the idea of, like, how many jumps am I making in my brain to be like, ChatGPT, next stop, Skynet? And then also, because of that, what are all of the ways that people like me are not considering what those actual real tangible effects will be of? And I don't want to be like the most cynical version, but, you know, if we aren't careful and we have very sort of individualistic or profit-minded sort of motivations to develop this kind of technology, like what does that worst case sort of look like? Or not worst case, but what are the ways I'm actually not thinking of, because I'm too busy thinking about T-1000s?
Right. Like, I just to like add on to that, when I think about the computer revolution, like for decades, it was these people in San Francisco talking about how the future was going to be completely different and done on computers or something called the internet. And we were just down here looking at a computer that was like green dots, like not that good of a screen display. And by the time it like filtered down to us and the world does look totally different, it's like, well, shit, like that turns out that was a big deal. So yeah, I feel like, I want to be constantly like on our show, just asking the question, like, where is this actually taking us? Because in the past, I feel like it's been hard to predict. And when it did come, it wasn't exactly what the, you know, tech oracles said it was going to be. And it was like unexpected and weird and beautiful and banal in weird ways. And so I'm curious to hear your thoughts on like, once this technology reaches the level of consumers, like of just your average ordinary person who's like not teaching machine learning at NYU, like what is it going to look like?
But first, but obviously first, Skynet.
But first, Skynet.
Yeah, I think Skynet. Okay, so I think the idea of worrying about some version of, you know, this technology going out of control, right, is there's so many checks and balances of ways in which we are thinking about and the technology is sort of moving forward that Skynet, you know, the idea of something emergent and then not only is it emergent, but it's going to take over and try to destroy civilization,
right? And also send cybernetic organisms into the past to ensure that those people do not grow up to take arms against Skynet, like John Connor and his.
Yeah. So I'm a firm believer that in being able to send people to the future, but I still don't think that we're not going to be able to send people in the past.
Okay.
So that's maybe one problem. Right. Mm-hmm. But
that's just like your opinion, man. All right.
I'm not a physicist.
Back to the Future is gonna happen for me. And by the way, I'm the Doc Brown character. I'm gonna befriend a young child.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
How long have they been dumpster? Marty and Doc been friends? Like probably like it seemed like 8 years. So like when Marty was like 9 years old, they became best friends. Anyways, sorry about that.
We're getting sidetracked.
So I think, you know, so what I'm thinking about when we think about this kind of technology and how it could be, the technology itself could go wrong. I don't think that kind of integration is likely. Right. I think that the concept of, you know, the singularity, it's so far out. And I don't think that we have a good ability or understanding of like consciousness. And I also don't think we have a really good understanding of like, okay, you know, why would, you know, these large language models start, you know, trying to harm us? So there's all those steps and jumps and leaps and all the intermediate pieces that just seem so incredibly unlikely. Now, I know that a lot of the AGI people who worry, their worry is, oh, well, we got to worry about this tail risk, right? And a human level extinction event is worth worrying about. Yeah. And some people worrying about that is probably not a bad thing. But I just think it's very unlikely for the reasons of those, of all the chain that would need to happen. And we're not very good at robots also. robots are, you know, actually much further away. But
that is one thing. Okay, well, we'll talk about it. But let's put a pin in that because I want to come back to that.
To bad robots.
To bad robots. Yeah. And how easy. I just want to brag about how easy it would be for me to beat one up. But
both of those Boston Dynamics ones. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I got money on you in that fight.
But the thing that I do want to point out is that, you know, the concept of starting to build some of these rules into the large language models, you know, to try to say, okay, well, you know, try to be benign, don't do harm.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a really super good idea, right?
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, even if you don't believe in Skynet, actually believing in trying to incorporate responsibility into the large language models, I think that is something that's very important. Moving into some of the dangers, though, like I think actually large language models and people like OpenAI was actually worried about this in one of its first iterations of GPT, was the ability for the large language models to create misinformation and disinformation. And, you know, I think that that's a really bad use of the technology and very, very potentially harmful.
And it already seems to be what it's being used for. Like the the ways that like companies are trying to replace journalism with it, or, you know, clickbait article, like just generate tons of clickbait articles that are like targeted at people, is like it feels like it's already training in that. In a lot of ways.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think you're right. Like that there is this bad use of the technology where it's like, oh, let's make this so that it could be as persuasive as possible. You know, there's obviously been a ton of research and marketing on like figuring out, okay, how do we, you know, position this product so that it's, you know, you're more likely to buy it, right? And the same thing can be now applied to language of like, okay, you know, for Jack O'Brien, how am I going to make this tailored advertisement just for him to be able to do, to make him buy this particular product that I'm selling, or to make him not vote, right?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, those kind of, I think that this is scary, and I think that this is in the now, right?
Yeah.
Which, you know, is something that, in some sense, it's going to be hard to, like, really stop people from using this technology in that direction without things like legislation. You know, there's just some components that need, you know, more legislation, and I think that's going to be hard to do, but probably necessary.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I could even see, like, just even in politics, you can be like, okay, I need to actually figure out the best campaign plan for this very specific demographic that lives in this part of this state. And
for sure.
And then just imagining what happens. But I guess, is that also part of the slippery slope? Is that like the reliance sort of gives way to like sort of this like thing where it's like, this actually is going to, whatever this says is the solution to whatever problem we have, and like just kind of throwing our hands up and all just becoming totally reliant. I mean, I'd imagine that's also seems like a place where we could easily sort of slip into a problem where it's like, yeah, the chatbot may give us this answer.
Well, or that people are starting to make like very homogenous decisions and choices.
Right.
Where you would make, you know, many different choices, but because you already have a template that's been given to you by, you know, this AI, you're like, oh, okay, well, you know, I'm just going to follow, you know, this choice or this decision that it's going to make for me and not, you know, do one of the thousand different alternatives.
Right.
Right. And if you do that, I do that, Jack does that, right? Like all of a sudden, we would have done vastly different choices, but now we have this sort of weird sort of centering effect where all of us are actually making much less, you know, varied choices in our decision making.
Right.
Which has, I mean, it does possess real risk. I mean, imagine applying this to resume screening, right? Where you could imagine the same type of problem, right? And those are, there's just so many scenarios that you can think of where, you know, we need to take care.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is a good time to think about that.
Right.
And we're turning our free will over to the care of algorithms and, you know, the phones, like the Skinner boxes in our hands that we're carrying around. And like, that feels like a thing that's already happening. AI might just make it a little bit more effective and like quicker to respond. And like, but yeah, it feels like a lot of the concerns over AI that make the most sense to me are the ones that are already happening. And yeah, just in like, to kind of tip my hand a little bit, like the, in doing a lot of research on the kind of overall general intelligence concerns that we've been talking about, the ones where it like takes over and evades human control because it wants to, you know, wants to defeat now. Humans.
Yeah.
I was surprised how full of shit those seem to be. Like, for instance, there's one story that got passed around a lot last year where during a military exercise, an AI was being told not to like take out human targets by its human operator. And so the AI made the decision to kill the operator so that it could then just like go rogue and start killing whatever it wanted to. And that story like got passed around a lot. I think we've even like referenced it on this show. And it's not true. First of all, I think when it first got passed around, people were like, it actually killed someone, man. And it was just a hypothetical exercise. First of all, like just in the story, like as it was being passed around. And second of all, it was then debunked. Like the person who said that it happened in the exercise later came out and was like, that actually, like that didn't happen. But it seems like there is a real interest and real incentive on behalf of the people who are like set up to make money off of these AIs to like make them seem like they have this like godlike reasoning power. There's this other story about where like they were testing the, I think it was GPT-4 to see like during the alignment testing. Alignment testing is like trying to make sure that the AI's goals are aligned with humanity's and like making humans more happy. And they like ran a test to see where the GPT-4 was basically like, I can't solve a CAPTCHA, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to reach out to a TaskRabbit and hire a TaskRabbit to solve the CAPTCHA for me. And the GPT-4 made up a lie and said that he was visually impaired and that's why he needed the TaskRabbit to do that. And again, it's like one of those stories that like it feels creepy and it like gives you goosebumps. And again, it's not true. It's like the GPT was being prompted by a human. Like it's very similar to the self-driving car myth, like that self-driving car viral video that Elon Musk put out, where it was being prompted by a human and like pre-programmed. And like there were all these ways that the human agency involved with the kind of clever task that we're worried about this thing having done were just like taken out, were just edited out so that they could tell a story where it seemed like the GPT-4, which is like what powers ChatGPT, that like it was doing something evil, right? And it's like, so it's, I get how these stories get out there and become like because they're the version of AI that we've been preparing for because like in watching Terminator. But it's surprising to me how much like Sam Altman, the head of OpenAI, like just leans into that shit and is like, he in an interview with like the New Yorker, he was like, yeah, I like keep a cyanide capsule on me and like all these weapons and like a gas mask from the Israeli military in case like an AI takeover happens. And it's like, what? Right. Like, you of all people should know that is complete bullshit. But, and it totally, like, takes the eye off the ball of, like, how the actual dangers that AI poses, which is that it's going to just, like, flood the zone with shit. Like, it's going to keep making the internet and phones, like, more and more unusable, but also more and more, like, difficult to, like, tear ourselves away from. Like, I feel like we've already lost the alignment battle in the sense that, like, we've already lost any way in which our technology that is supposed to, like, serve us and make our lives better and enrich our happiness, like, are doing that. Like, they stopped doing that a long time ago. Like, that's why I always, like, say that the more interesting question, like, the questions that were being asked in philosophy classes in the early 2000s about, like, singularity and, like, suddenly this thing spins off and is, we don't realize we're no longer being served and, like, we're, like, 20 steps behind. Like, that happened with capitalism a long time ago. Like, that we're, like, capitalism is so far beyond it, and it's like, you know, we're no longer serving ourselves and serving fellow humanity. We're, like, serving this idea of this market that is just, you know, repeatedly making decisions to make itself more efficient, take the friction out of, like, our consumption behavior. And yeah, I think AI is going to definitely be a tool in that, but, like, that is the ultimate battle that we're already losing.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with you on the front of, like, your phones are, I mean, the companies are trying to maximize their profits, which mean, you know, possibly you being on your phone at the disservice of doing something else, like going outdoors and doing exercise, right?
Right.
Or, you know, doing something social. I do see, on the other hand, that, like, you know, maybe AI can have positive effects, right? Where, you know, take tutoring for an example, or public health, where we take the phone and take the technology and use it for benefit, like providing information about public health by helping students who don't have the ability to have a tutor, right? Like, all of these kind of things where let's take advantage of the fact that, you know, the majority of the world has phones, right? And try to use that technology for, you know, a good positive societal benefit. But like any tool, and it has usage that are both good and bad. And I do think, like, you know, there's going to be a lot of uses of this technology that are not necessarily in the best interest of humanity or individual people.
Right.
Totally.
It's like, really, like, sort of the real X factor is how the technology is being deployed and for what purpose. Not that technology in and of itself is like this runaway train that we're trying to rein in. It's that, yeah, if you do phone scams, you might come up with better, you know, like voice models to get this, rather than doing one call per hour, you can do 1,000 calls in 1 hour running the same script and same scam on people. Or to your point about how do you persuade Jack O'Brien to not vote or to buy X product, then it's all going in that direction versus the things like, how can we optimize, like, the ability of a person to learn if they're in an environment that typically isn't one where people have access to information or for the public health use. And that's why, like, I think in the end, because we always see, like, we're like, yeah, this thing could be used for good. And it's almost every example is like, yeah, and it just made two guys $3 billion in 2 seconds.
Right.
And that's what happened with that. And now we all don't know if videos we see on Instagram are real anymore. Thanks.
It's not inherently a bad technology. It's that the system, as is currently constituted, favors scams. Like, that's why we have a scam artist as, like, our most recent president before this one, and probably could be future president again, like, because that is what our current system is designed for, and, like, it is just scamming people for money. That's why when when blockchain technology has its infant baby steps, it immediately becomes a thing that people use to scam one another, because that is the software of our current society. So yeah, there are tons of amazing possibilities with AI. I don't think we find them in the United States, applying the AI tools to our current software. I would love for there to be a version of the future where AI is so smart and efficient that it changes that paradigm somehow and changes it so that our software that our society runs on is no longer scams. You know,
well, right. I mean, there is a future where, you know, AI starts to do a lot of tasks for us. I think that there's starting to be, depending, it's mostly in Europe now, but also here it talks about universal basic income. It's kind of, I don't think that that's going to be the case. I don't think that in the US anybody has an appetite for that, maybe in 20, 30 years. But, I do think that, there are certain things about my job, right, as a professor, about writing and certain other components, right, where, here's some things where AI can help, right? Mm-hmm. And, today I use it as a tool to make me more efficient. I want to have an editor look at this. Okay, well, it's not going to do as good as a real editor, but maybe as a bad copy editor. Yeah, it's good. I've been writing papers for a while. When the undergraduates write the paper, it does an even better job, right? Because they have more room for growth.
Mm.
Right. And so I think that, I think that on a micro level, right, these tools are now being used. I think that, Russian spam bots have been most likely using large language model technology before ChatGPT.
Right. Sure.
Right. And so, there are some ways that I think we're going in a positive and good direction.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now it's now that you say that, I'm thinking, we thought Cambridge Analytica was bad. And it's what happens now when we turn it up to 1000 with this kind of thing where it's here are all these voter files. Now, really figure out how to suppress a vote or get to sway people. And yeah, again, it does feel like one of these things where in the right hands, right, we can create a world where people don't have to toil because we're able to automate those things. But then the next question becomes, how do we off-ramp our culture of greed and wealth hoarding and concentrating all of our wealth into a way to say, we actually need to spread this out that way everyone can have their needs met materially, because our economy kind of runs on its own in certain sectors. Obviously, other ones need real human labor and things like that. But yeah, that's where you begin to see okay, that's the fork in the road. Can we make that? Do we take the right path, or does it turn into, just some very half-assed version where only a fraction of the people that need universal basic income are receiving it, while, we read more articles about why we don't see Van Vogt in Hollywood anymore, as Jack pointed out, that terribly worded thing about Vince Vaughn that AI could not get right.
Couldn't get his name right, so they call him Van Vogt. Yep. The sci-fi dystopia that seems like, not necessarily dystopia, but the sci-fi future that seems like it's most close at hand, and given, doing a weekend's worth of research on where this is and where all the top thinkers think we're headed, the thing that seems the closest to reality to me is the movie Her. Her is kind of already here. There's already these applications that use ChatGPT and GPT-4 to, again, it really seems to me and I don't necessarily mean this in a dismissive way. This is probably, a good description of most jobs. The thing that David Fincher, I was like listening to a podcast where they talked about how David Fincher says like words are only ever spoken in his movies by characters in order to lie, because like that's how humans actually use language, is just to like find different ways to like lie about who they are, what their, you know, approach is to things. And like, I think, you know, these language models, the thing that they're really good at, like whether it be like up to this point where people are like, holy shit, this thing's alive, that's talking to me. Well, it's not. And it's like just doing a really good approximation of that and like kind of fooling you a little bit. Like, take that to the ultimate extreme. And it's like, it makes you think that you're in a like loving relationship with a partner. And like, that's already how it's being used in some instances to great effect. So like that seems to be one way that I could see that becoming more and more a thing where people are like, yeah, I don't have like human relationships anymore. I get like my emotional needs met by like her technology, essentially. Is that what would you say about that? And what is there a different fictional future that you see close at hand?
So I think her is great. I mean, it's really funny because, you know, I remember back in 2017, 2018, where I was like, oh, her is like a great sort of, this is where AI is going. And, you know, for those of you who haven't seen the movie, it's a funny movie where, you know, they have Scarlett Johansson as the voice of an AI agent, which is on the phone. And I think that this is actually a pretty accurate description of what we're going to have in the future. Not necessarily the relationship part, but the fact that we'll all have this personal assistant. Mm-hmm. And the personal assistant will see so many aspects of our lives, right? Our calendars, our, you know, meetings, our phone calls, everything. And so it'll be, you know, this assistant that we all have that's helping us to like make things more productive. And as a function of the assistant, to be effective, the assistant will probably want to have some connection with you. And that connection will be likely to allow you to trust it. And here's where the slippery slope comes from, you know, where you're like, oh, this understands me. And you start getting into a deeper relationship where, you know, a lot of the fulfillment of a one-on-one connection can come with your smart assistant. And I do think that there's a little bit of a danger here. Like, you know, again, I'm not a psychologist. I'm someone who studies AI and machine learning. But I do actually, you know, study how well machines can make sense of emotion and empathy. And really, you know, GPT-4, which is the current state-of-the-art technology, is actually already really good in understanding, I use that phrase with a quote, the phrase understanding, but really what you are feeling, right? How you're feeling under this scenario. And you can imagine that feeling heard is one of the most important parts of a relationship. Right. And if you're not feeling heard by somebody else and you're feeling heard by, you know, your personal assistant, that could shift relationships to the AI, which, you know, could be fundamentally dangerous because it's an AI, not a real person.
Right.
Yeah. The one I was talking about is Replica, that app, yep. R-E-P-L-I-K-A, where they are, you know, designing these things explicitly to like fill in as like a romantic partner. And at least with some people, and it's always hard to tell, did they find like the three people who are using this to fill an actual hole in their lives, or is it actually taking off as a technology? But yeah, yeah. The personal assistant thing seems closer at hand than maybe people realized. Any other like kind of concrete changes that you think are coming to people's lives that they aren't ready for or haven't really thought about or seen in another sci-fi movie?
Sci-fi movies are remarkably good at predicting
yeah.
the future.
Or maybe they have yeah. seen in a sci-fi movie. Yeah.
No, but I think, you know, another thing that One potential that I think not enough people are talking about is how much better video games are going to become.
Mm.
So people are already integrating GPT-4 into video games. And I think our video games are just going to be so much better because, you know, you have this ability to like interact now with a character AI that's not just like very boring and chatting with you, but right. that can actually be truly entertaining and fully interactive.
Interesting.
So yeah. I think, you know, computer games are going to be much, much better and possibly also more addictive as a function of being much better.
Perfect. And then that will dull our appetite for revolution when our jobs are all taken by the... Yes, this is great. This is great. I love it.
All right. I feel much better after having had this conversation.
Dude, Grand Theft Auto is way better. The kinds of conversations I have with people I would normally bludgeon on the street with my character than really something else.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Sadak, such a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist. I feel like we could keep talking about this for another 2 hours, but we got to let you go. But thank you so much for joining us. We'll have to have you back. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm on what is now called X at J-O-A-O-S-E-D-O-C.
Not on this podcast. We still call it Twitter.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Twitter, fine. And you know, yeah, that's my currently still my main venue. But
there you go.
Yeah.
And is there a work of media you've been enjoying?
Ooh, good question. Modern Dance. So, Fall for Dance is starting in New York City. So, I've been you know, moving into watching some modern dance, which is our kind of a fun thing to do.
Nice. Oh, fun.
Modern dance. Okay. Okay.
There you go.
I'm going to have Bing Chat recommend some modern dance shows for me in New York. So we'll see what they say.
Yeah. Through work, we get access to the Bing chat bot. So pretty cool.
All I do is mess around. I'm like a child with it. I'm like, pitch me a movie with Seth Rogen where he's a stoner biker. Did a pretty good job. Pretty good job. Feels a little derivative, but it makes sense because it's only deriving its ideas from existing things out there. But yeah.
I asked it to summarize the plot of Moby Dick in the format of a Wu-Tang rap, and it was not great.
Not great. Well,
not great. It was kind of sing-song, like more early 80s rap, where it was like, hey, my name's Ahab, and I'm here to say I hit this whale in a major way. Miles, where can people find you? What is the work of media you've been enjoying?
Now you really got me thinking.
Now you really done it.
Wow, Jack. Sorry, I'm asking it to summarize Of Mice and Men in the form of a ghost face rap verse. You can find me at Miles of Gray on Twitter. I don't even, formerly X. I'm calling it Twitter formerly X.com. Yeah. Okay, we're inverting the form here. So check me out there pretty much everywhere, Instagram, all that. And obviously find us on our basketball podcast, Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties, where I promise my takes are not written by AI, or are they? And also find me on my true crime podcast, The Good Thief, where we're in search of the Greek Robin Hood, and also 420 Day Fiancé, where I talk about 90 Day Fiancé. Whoa. Do you know what it just said when I said give me Of Mice and Men in the form of Ghostface? Yo. Let me tell you about a story so true of two migrant workers, George and Lenny, who were on a mission to own their food and land and live off the fat of the land. That was the plan. George was small and sharp. Come on, you got to give me like a random Italian dish
ravioli
mixed with like Gore-Tex or North Face. Yeah. Anyway, it's got some learning to do.
It's got some work.
Let's see. Any tweets or works of media I'm liking? Not really. Okay. Just I thought I had something that I saw recently. Oh, new season of Top Boy. I was watching the new season of Top Boy on Netflix.
New season of Top Boy.
Yeah.
Is Top Boy a reality show?
Top Boy, no. It does sound like it would be. Like the best Cabana
Boy. The best
boy. Yeah, no. It's like a London gangster show.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. About roadmen, innit?
Roadmen?
Yeah, roadmen.
I was a highwayman. All right. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. Tweet I enjoyed was from Jeff at Used Wigs. Tweeted, the weekend ending trauma of seeing the 60 minute stopwatch as a kid lives forever.
Oof.
I feel that. And it's not just as a kid. Not just as a kid. Yeah. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and our website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do you think people might enjoy?
This is from a Thai artist. She's like a drummer, producer, dope drummer. Her name's Salin, S-A-L-I-N. I'm sorry if I botched the pronunciations. And I'm going to do it again with the track. It's called Si Chompu. The first word, S-I, the second word, C-H-O-M-P-H-U. And I believe that is a region of like Northeast Thailand. But she's like this, like it's like a really funky drum track. If you like Krungbin and kind of sort of like funky, like Southeast Asian funk kind of music, this is kind of what that track sounds like, except her drumming. She is so tight on the kit. Anyway, so check this one out. It's Salim with Si Chompu.
All right. We will link off to that in the footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we'll talk to you then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.